Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Newell will be back tomorrow. I'm Dave Cohen. Glad to be with you today as we continue the Newell Norman Show. Anything we talked about earlier, you can still call in, text in, chat about. It's been 10 years since smoking was banned in bars in New Orleans. Can you believe that? It was 10 years ago, a decade ago, that the New Orleans City Council voted to ban smoking in bars. Many opponents to that policy thought it was going to be the death of the nightclub industry and bars in the city. Hasn't turned out so much that way. It seems like bars are all still doing well. There was documented losses in revenue from video poker in bars and from the big casino as well immediately after the ban went into effect, as we saw smokers not gambling as much and presumably spending less time in bars also. But anecdotally, then we heard that non-smokers came and filled those voids. And it looks like the bar industry is pretty healthy now, at least in terms of as a result of the ban on smoking. So if you want to sound off on that, is it too much government overreach 10 years later? Is it just something it's like it is what it is now and we're used to it? Also, we were talking about the boil water advisory. Hopefully, in the next few hours, the Department of Health and Hospitals and the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board will be able to announce that they have lifted the ban, the boil water advisory that currently is affecting all of the city of New Orleans except for Algiers. And we talked about maybe it's just too restrictive right now. Maybe that the rules by which govern when a boil water advisory has to be issued may be too much. So we can sound off on that. Also, this hour, we're going to start talking a little bit about the Super Bowl here in New Orleans in just 13 days. CBS's Erica Herskowitz tells us now we know who's playing in the game.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
The call courtesy of the Chiefs Radio Network. The Chiefs knocked off the Bills in the AFC title game 32-29 to advance to yet another Super Bowl. Their opponent, the Philadelphia Eagles, who blew out the Washington Commanders in the NFC title game 55-23. Eagles running back Saquon Barkley on Fox enjoying the moment.
It's amazing. We're here. Super Bowl. But the goal wasn't just getting there. The goal is to win. And we're going to celebrate, enjoy this, and get right back to work.
The Eagles and Chiefs meet in Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans on February 9th. Erica Herskowitz for CBS News.
That's only 13 days away. Thank you, Erica. Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon, joins us on the live line now. Bobby, what do you think about this matchup? Seeing the same two teams from 2 years ago coming here to New Orleans to battle out for NFL supremacy.
Well, I think it's the two best teams. The Chiefs, even though you might not like the way they win all these one-score games, the bottom line is that they win. Then the Eagles, their roster, they have a Super Bowl roster. And if Jalen Hurts plays like he played yesterday against Washington, I could see them definitely not letting the Chiefs three-peat. I think right now the open line there, the Eagles are 1.5-point underdog against KC, but Dave, if you look at the last Super Bowl, very entertaining that they played against each other, 38-35. was crazy, Jalen Hurts. If you look at numbers, you know, always look at the numbers. Jalen Hurts outplayed Pat Mahomes. He's not even close. You know, he had total 374 yards. Pat Mahomes had 226. You might say, well, the turnovers. The one thing, if you remember that first half, you remember he had that fumble. He kind of, I don't know, stumbled and dropped the ball, and then the Chiefs scooped and scored, and that was the difference. But he was like 27 to 38, 304 yards, a touchdown, zero interceptions. He had three touchdowns rushing. He ran the ball 15 times for 70 yards. Mahomes had ran it six times for 44 yards, but he was only 21 to 27, 182 yards. He had three touchdowns and zero picks. They both didn't throw interceptions, but I don't know. To me, when you watch the Chiefs playing, and you might be talking to your friends or you texting and you're observing, all I know, whoever Kansas City plays, you better be up by two scores at the end of the game.
Yeah, because last time they played, Kansas City scored 17 in the fourth quarter, outscored the eight the Eagles had to win that Super Bowl 2 years ago. And it seems like, yeah, it's almost like a cat and mouse game where they're just toying with you for the first three quarters. And then Mahomes is, wait, hold my beer. And then he takes off and just dominates the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Dave, that's right on. That's what I said. You got to be up by two scores or, you know, that you never could be comfortable. And then when I look at Washington, what happened there, I mean, that was a shellacking. But, you know, the one thing, you can't win. They were minus four in that turnover margin. You know, I knew, I didn't think it was, I said, maybe they can come back. You know, it was like, I think it was, third quarter, 34 to 23, and then when Austin Ekeler had that fumble, I said, oh, no, it's just not going to happen for them. And, you know, when you look at Jane Daniels, obviously a lot of local interest to cheer for him. You know, he was trying to become the first rookie quarterback to not only go to the Super Bowl, win it. You know, Dan Marino went but didn't win it. But, you know, he looked poised. He looked like he didn't look he was overwhelmed. But, you know, you want look at Washington again. That's why I bring up those turnovers. That and, you know, the Saints, this is what got to hope for the Saints. Now, I don't know if they can happen to get the double-digit wins. But if you look at Washington, their improvement, they went from 4-13 to 12-5 in one season. I would just hope the Saints can go from 5-12, you know, to 10-7 and just win double digits. But the big difference for the Washington and Jane Daniels are what they did, what they didn't do in the game in the playoffs. Like I said, the turnovers, their last 10 games had zero turnovers. And all of a sudden, the most important game, go to Super Bowl, they have four. And, you know, that stretch down their franchise history, they hadn't done that since World War II. In 1940.
And the Eagles, you know, seem particularly interested, even more so than normal. You saw them just punching at every ball, at every opportunity, and the pressure they brought. Clearly the Eagles were determined to cause some turnovers in that game, and they did.
Yeah, and Zach Bond, a former Saint. I mean, here's a guy that he's a special teams guy for us. We're not even playing him. See, that'd be a question I have with Mickey Loomis. You're not even playing him. I guess the coaching staff, how can he go from not playing in Vic Fangio, who coached outside linebackers in the Dome Patrol, Ricky Jackson and Pat Swilling, now he's running the Eagles defense. How can he say, we got to go get Zach Bond? And he turns Zach Bond not just a Pro Bowler, but all pro. Look how opportunistic he was. He not only recovered a fumble, he forced a fumble. So just unbelievable. But I knew it might be a long day when Saquon Barkley, when he had at the very first play, he goes 60 yards for a touchdown. And see the difference, I think, between a very entertaining game, like I said before, 38-35, when the Chiefs came out on top of the Eagles, was now the Eagles have Saquon Barkley. And because when you look at it, who they had? Miles Sanders. I remember Bart Scott. I want to say the was it the Saints? Oh, Louisiana Tech running back, and then Gainwell. People might, who's Gainwell? Well, they only had 45 yards rushing. Like I said, but now they got Saquon Barkley. So to me, that could be the difference maker. Now, if it's you know, 0-0 turnover margin, you know, the Chiefs can't be minus three or minus two, and I think the Eagles not. But if that's even, I think the X factor, two things I think for the Eagles. If Jalen Hurts plays as well as he played, I think, in that last Super Bowl, but you take away that fumble. But the way he played, the poise that he had against Washington, and you're looking at Saquon Barkley, I think that could be the difference of them coming out on top. And at the end of the game, having that two-score lead where the Chiefs don't have an opportunity to have a last drive and come back and win.
Obviously, Vegas thinks these are pretty evenly matched teams. When you just have a 1.5 point differential with the Chiefs favored by 1.5, but the whole three-peat thing. Do you think the Chiefs are feeling more pressure than the last 2 years because they want to make history and be the first team to ever win three consecutive Super Bowls?
Well, it seems like they play better with pressure. It's like they made for this moment. Andy Reid, he's like, I don't know, I say Jaden Daniels is smooth as silk, too cool for school. Andy Reid, Papa Andy Reid, he seems like that. And then you look how, with Pat Mahomes, okay, you know, does it. So I don't think the pressure is going to get them to three-peat. I'd be more, if they don't three-peat, it's because what the Eagles did. It went like, oh, the Chiefs, choked or just, gave the game to them. Like for instance, I mean, the Eagles crushed Washington. The reason why they were able to score 55 points, I mean, think about that, 55 points.
That's a lot of points in a conference championship.
Yeah, that Washington, you can't have four turnovers, and I just don't think the Chiefs are going to have that. You know, look at that 55 points. That was the most scored in the conference championship. You got to go back to 1970, the merger between the AFL and NFL. But, I don't see the Eagles going to have to go take it. And I think the Chiefs are going to play their game. And like I said, I think in the end, the Eagles better hope that they're up by two scores and it's not just one last drive, because it's kind of like the Tom Brady syndrome. Whenever you bet against Pat Mahomes, you lose money. So, you don't think he's not going to have success on that last drive? I don't know if I'd go against Pat Mahomes, but if you have a two-score lead.
All right, we lost Bobby there for a second.
The previous game in Kansas City when they beat the Bills, he didn't even get a chance to go back on the field. Josh Allen took the lead with 13 seconds left. And
all right, we're going to reestablish our connection with Bobby. Sorry, Bobby. We're going to put you on hold. When we come back, we'll let him finish that thought. And he said, you don't bet against Pat Mahomes. So does he think that 1.5 point line is about right? And is his early gut check that it looks like the Chiefs should win this Super Bowl in New Orleans in 13 days? I'll ask Bobby that. We'll also get an update on the coaching search for the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are the last team without a coach. Does that give them now the pick of everybody else who's out there and give them an opportunity to even consider some of these coaches who are going to be playing in the Super Bowl, the assistants in the Super Bowl? Or is it Mike McCarthy? Are we just kind of going through the motions now and the Saints are going to land on Mike McCarthy? Is he the leader right now? We'll get Bobby to talk about the Saints coaching search and more on the Super Bowl coming up next. We'll also welcome your calls at 504-260-1870. Call us and text us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line on WWL. Getting a few text messages about some fog out there, particularly at the north end of the Twin Spans in the Slidell area. Visibility is down to 0.5 mile officially, and we do have some fog out over the water. I'm not hearing about any visibilities that are making it dangerous to travel, but just something to be aware of and that we are getting a few text messages about. Also, they have not yet been able to lift the boil water advisory for the East Bank of New Orleans. Everyone but Algiers still advised to boil your water for a minute and let it cool off before consuming it until they can get those tests back this afternoon to verify that contaminants did not enter the system when the pressure dropped below 20 pounds per square inch because of a power loss at one of the pumps that provides water to the system. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. Bobby Hebert is with us. As now we know, after all the hype, all the discussion, the years in the making, the $560 million in upgrades at the Superdome, and everything else that's gone into getting ready for the Super Bowl 13 days away, now we know it's going to be the Chiefs and the Eagles squaring off in the Superdome coming up on Sunday, February 9th. Bobby, do you think the 1.5-point line is right? Do you think the Chiefs are slight favorites in this game?
Yeah, I think it's about right there. I think you just flip a coin. Again, you might say, well, Bobby, say this almost regular season, postseason. You know, that turnover mark, just ask coaches, you know, this would be a game that, you know, you want to be plus one or plus two, whether you're the Chiefs or the Eagles. You know, that could be a big difference whether you win or not. But I think it's whenever you see a point and a half, no, that's two evenly matched teams. That's basically like a pick 'em, flip a coin. And, you know, I just like Saquon Barkley, how explosive he is, and, you know, them controlling the line of scrimmage. That's one thing. If I'm the Chiefs, I'm taking the approach, okay, Jalen Hurts, I know he had an outstanding Super Bowl against us last time, but he has to beat us passing the football. That they're going to have to be, like, stout against the run. Because if Saquon Barkley can run, I know Jalen Hurts will have success. So that'll be interesting. And, you know, there's a lot in New Orleans history, David. I know you love this between the two teams. Remember we were talking about the coldest Super Bowl ever being in New Orleans? Well, if you look at both the Chiefs and the Eagles, had their first ever Super Bowl appearances in the Big Easy.
How about that?
Yeah, the Chiefs played in the Super Bowl in 1970 at Tulane Stadium. You remember they beat the Vikings 23-7. That wasn't supposed to happen.
Well, I don't
that
remember
Hank
it.
Stram.
But I
it was Hank Stram was mic'd up. Hank Stram's mic'd up, and you know, he ended up becoming the Saints coach later. He's mic'd up. Lynn Dawson, the quarterback, and then you think, oh, no way they're going to beat the Vikings and Joe Capp. You know, that happened before. Remember when Joe Namath and the, you know, because you still looked at back then like AFL, NFL, more than was in parity. But when that's when Joe Namath and the Jets, remember when they beat the Colts and they think that was going to happen. Well, this is kind of a game where the Vikings were heavily favored and the Chiefs beat them in New Orleans in Tulane Stadium. And then you look at the Eagles. I remember I was in college at this time back in 1981 and Petey Payroll. From Northwestern State, Vic Vermeule is the coach of the Eagles. He called them Gumbo, and he was a starting offensive guard. That's when Jaworski was the quarterback for the Eagles. Jim Plunkett was the quarterback for the Raiders. But the Eagles lost in New Orleans in 1981 in the Superdome, 27-10 to the Raiders. So, yeah, these two teams, both the Eagles, this history in New Orleans, their first Super Bowl ever was playing in New Orleans.
Talking with Bobby Hebert, now that we know that the Chiefs and the Eagles are playing in the Super Bowl in just 13 days here in New Orleans, the record-tying 11th time that New Orleans will be hosting the Super Bowl, and they have put $560 million of promised upgrades into the Superdome to get it ready, and by all accounts, there's just a few little things on the punch list. They may be finishing it up now, but the Dome is ready to shine on an international stage. I know so much more talk between you and Mike this afternoon on the second guest, Bobby, about the Super Bowl. I wanted to also, while I had you, though, talk to you about the Saints and the open coaching vacancy that the Saints now have. All of the other teams in the NFL have their coaches now. Does that give the Saints an advantage now that they can pick just about any candidates they want to interview and try to woo to come to New Orleans with even the Super Bowl competing teams, anybody on their coaching staffs? Or is it now that, hey, Mike McCarthy doesn't have a team, the Saints don't have a coach, that looks like the heir apparent?
Well, Mike McCarthy is the safe pick. You know, when you look at, if you're trying to establish and you want to win, but then, I don't know, if you go in like with a Ben Johnson type of hire, you know, all of a sudden, look what he did with that Lions offense. Now he's the head coach of the Chicago Bears. I think Kellen Moore is that guy, the offensive coordinator with the Eagles. But, you know, to say pick with McCarthy, when you look at it, I mean, this didn't happen by accident. That's a lot of skins in the wall. You look at 13 seasons when he's with the Packers and, you know, his winning percentage, 6-18, 125 wins, 77 losses. So, and then even look what he did in Dallas. I mean, you know, now he didn't do anything in the playoffs. That's it. But we're just trying to get to the playoffs right now. But he was 49-35. So he's won that being Mike McCarthy, wherever he's been. And like I said, before this season, you go four straight seasons and you win 12 games. That's hard to do. But again, what you could do in the postseason. But right now, we're just trying to get to the postseason, the Who Dat Nation, where it's not five straight seasons and we're not playing in the postseason. When you look at Kellen Moore, I mean, now being the Eagles' offensive coordinator, I think you just look at his background. Look at their offense this year. Now, Saquon was a big part of that, I think. And Howley's coach, Jalen Hurts, you know, they had the number one, the number eight ranked total offense. They were seven in scoring and number two in rushing. So they will run the ball. You might say, well, Bob, the Saints don't have the Eagles' offensive line, of course. You might say, well, what did he do with the Chargers? And, you know, he had Herbert. Justin Herbert with the Chargers and, you know, after four seasons in Dallas. But if you look at overall, I look at his body of work. You can look at Kellen Moore when he was at Dallas, then with the Chargers, and now with the Eagles. He's guided a top-10 scoring offense four times in his six seasons as an offensive coordinator. So I think it would take that. If you're guiding, you know, a team where you're in the top-10, offense or defense, then you can have that balance. The disappointment this year was how our defense, instead of being top 10, top 12, we were in the 20s. And that was unacceptable. So you could see why we were not able to even come close to being a 500 team, like an 8-9, 9-8 team. I don't know. I think right now with Derek Carr at the helm, that if he's the quarterback, okay, he can be the difference in us instead of going 5-12, let's say we go 8-9 or 9-8, but not necessarily getting back to the postseason and winning 10 games, winning double digits. But I think Carr could still be the difference to get three or four more wins a season, but I don't think that'll be good enough. So that'll be interesting to see because, like Mickey Loomis said, we're going to give the head coach, the new head coach, that opportunity to pick the quarterback he wants and has going to have a lot of say-so about what direction the team is going. So, I don't know. I would be, I think, more on the offensive side of the ball, Coach McCarthy or Kellen Moore, like I said.
Yeah, and a lot of speculation that we're not going to hear an announcement out of the Saints now till after the Super Bowl. One, because the league tends to like all of the news about football to be about the Super Bowl for the next 13 days. And two, if the Saints are interested in anybody on the coaching staffs of either of the Super Bowl teams, they would have to wait till after the Super Bowl. So do you think it'll be 2 weeks or more before we find out who will be the next Saints head coach?
Well, Dink says they're not playing this weekend, though. They can talk directly to Kellen Moore, since the Eagles aren't playing. But you can't name him, but you can have a good feel of where you're at. And I would see it coming probably right after the Super Bowl. Why couldn't you name a coach this week? Because there's nothing going on this week, and you're not taking away nothing from the Super Bowl. Now, I think the week of the Super Bowl, yes. But if they went with Coach McCarthy, but I think they're not finished with the interview process yet. That's why I think they definitely will want that face-to-face meeting, I think, with Kellen Moore.
Well, Bobby, I know you got to go. You got to get ready for the show tonight from the Silver Slipper, Second Guessing with Mike Totilia. Anything else you want to share with us before we let you run?
No, that's. I just hope it's a good Super Bowl, Dave. You know, when you don't have a dog in the hunt.
Yes.
if they can give us a Super Bowl like they did the first time when the Chiefs kicked the field goal then to win 38-35, I would take that. So, whether it's I know the Eagles fans are more obnoxious than the Chiefs fans. when you look at it, like it's like you can go to Arrowhead Stadium and you're not worried about getting beat up. But then you go to Lincoln Field in Philadelphia, you try to go to the bathroom or something, you might get jumped. But that's just the characteristics. But I just want to see a good game. And, we always put an underdog. Usually I'm an underdog, but I don't know. I like to see history. So why not the Chiefs three-peat, you know?
Yeah.
But either way, I just hope it's a good game.
A lot of people are tired of the Chiefs, but at the same time, it would be nice to see that history. Kind of like, you know, no one really wanted 10 inches of snow here last week, but it was nice to see and be a part of history. So maybe this is the right. same kind of thing. But it was nice yesterday after that disappointing NFC championship that wasn't even close to see the AFC championship be a back-and-forth affair and come down to the very end. That's all we want is a good game, right?
We just want a good game, and we don't want the lights to go out.
See, and I don't put the juju on that. Bobby Hebert.
<You're right.
laughs> Bobby Hebert will be back at 4 o'clock, folks. Second guessing from Silver Slipper with Mike Dettillier here on WWL. Thanks, Bobby. We'll hear you then in 3.5 hours. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. All right, we're opening up the lunchtime buffet to anything you want to talk about now. We can talk about the matchup in the Super Bowl. We can talk about the Saints open coaching position. We can talk about the 10 years now that smoking has been banned in casinos and bars in New Orleans. We can talk about the new, more restrictive threshold that has led to more boil water advisories like we have right now in the city of New Orleans coming up. Jay's on the line. His call is next. You can be after him at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. I'll read some of your texts as well on WWL.
And so here is Mahomes lining up with a 3rd down and 9 just outside the Buffalo 35. He's in the gun with P. Ryan to his right. Trips on the far side. Shotgun snap. Tooney, a left tackle block. He throws to P. Ryan, the catch on a lunge at the 35-30. Breaks a tackle down the far sideline. 25 down the far sideline. 20 and knocked out of bounds at the 18-yard line of the Bills. My goodness, you can feel it inside the stadium.
Yeah, that was the call here on WWL via Westwood One, as that was the first down that sealed the deal for Kansas City to return to their 3rd consecutive Super Bowl, playing here in New Orleans against the Eagles that had just dominated the Washington Commanders. Chiefs-Eagles. The Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites, according to the odds makers here in New Orleans, 13 days from now. One person texts us and says, I wanted to see the Commanders and Bills go. That way we'd have some New Orleans boys in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs have been there too damn much. The Chiefs have been there a lot, but I don't know. It's kind of neat to see him go for the three-peat, but I was pulling to see Jaden Daniels make it. But clearly Washington was just not up to the task against the Eagles. Somebody else texts us and says, the I-10 corridor from Carrollton Overpass to the Superdome needs lighting and landscaping badly. You know, they fixed the lighting a couple of times now in recent weeks and months, but I think it was week before last, it was before the winter storm, that the lights all went out from Metairie to Carrollton again. And it's usually either because someone crashes into one of the poles or somebody steals the wires because they want the copper out of the electrical system, and that the lights keep going out again and they can't keep them on. So I don't know. Maybe they should fix it, you know, the day before the Super Bowl, and maybe it'll still be working for the Super Bowl. We'll have to wait and see. Jay, thanks for calling. You're on WWL. How you doing, Jay?
Good, Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'll go on the buffet first and say I would like to see the Chiefs win. It would be a historic moment here in New Orleans, and maybe we'll put to rest the goat talk about Tom Brady now, because even though Tom Brady was a great quarterback, I think he was a better teammate than he was a quarterback, because he was one of the few quarterbacks that took less money to make sure that he had the pieces around him. I think Mahomes is a better quarterback.
Yeah, and he'll 3 in a row would be unprecedented. No one's ever done it before. He still wouldn't have as many rings as Tom Brady. So I think until he wins, what I think he needs 6 Super Bowls altogether, that debate will continue. But it sure would go a long way to making him definitely in the discussion as the greatest of all time. You also want to talk about our first hour. We were discussing the smoking ban is now 10 years old. It was a decade ago that the New Orleans City Council voted to ban smoking in bars and casinos in New Orleans. And your thoughts on that, Jay?
Well, in general, I just think that we don't need nanny state governments. I don't smoke anymore. I didn't smoke when I was younger. I definitely didn't like smoking in restaurants. Okay? But as far as a bar is concerned, if you're a private business owner, cigarettes are still a legal product. If you choose to let people consume a legal product on your private property, the government should have no business telling you you can or can't do that.
But wait, Jay, hang on. You're okay with them telling restaurants they can't do it, but not bars?
Well, not so much okay with telling them. I just don't like smoking in restaurants. Now, if you have a completely different ventilation system and it's separated by, a separate room with a closable door, then that to me is a different instance. But if you're in a restaurant and you got a smoking section and it's open air and it's just a few feet from where other people are eating, I just think it's a bad business model. If you want to have smoking in your restaurant, that should be your choice as well, you know?
Yeah, and that's been the debate. And in fact, 20 states, including Louisiana, still don't outlaw smoking, Jay, in bars. New Orleans does here and some other municipalities around the region. But nearly everywhere, smoking is banned in restaurants. So you talk about government overreach. Is that an appropriate amount of government reach?
I think it's an overreach. I think there's so much government overreach throughout our daily lives that we don't even realize because we've gotten used to it. Take the seatbelt laws. The government doesn't need to protect me from myself, okay? The government needs to protect me from other entities. We don't need a nanny state, okay? And if you're not wearing a seatbelt when you get in a car wreck, then that should be between you and whoever's covering your health insurance at that point.
What about children, Jay? What about children? Should the law require children to have seatbelts on?
Children should be required to be protected because they're not capable of making their own decisions. So it's different from children. But if you're 17 or 18 years or older and you don't want to wear a seatbelt or a motorcycle helmet or anything that is your choice about your well-being, then that should be your decision. I get why certain substances are restricted and made illegal because they're just too dangerous. I'm not saying that all drugs should be legal or anything like that. This is more about, there's very low percentages of, if you look at the amount of people on the roads that get in wrecks every day, you know? And I'm wearing my seatbelt right now, not because I'm worried about my safety. I don't want to be pulled over by the police.
So you would take your seatbelt off if the law didn't require you to have it on right now?
I normally don't wear my seatbelt, but I got pulled over the other day and issued a ticket for a seatbelt. So I don't want them reaching in my pocket right now.
I hear you. You can't afford another ticket. Jay, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. So Jay says he wants the appropriate amount of government reach, not government overreach. What do you think? Call us and text us. Oakwinhart Jewelers Talk and Text Line 504-260-1870. Someone just texted in and said, dude, I can remember going to the doctor when I was younger. I'm 55 now, it says. And the doctor would smoke while he was diagnosing me. Crazy. It is really amazing how quickly things have changed when it comes to smoking. Really, within just one generation, we've gone to people smoking in offices, people smoking in bars, in restaurants, in casinos, and it just being overwhelming clouds of smoke everywhere you go, to now you don't see smoking in nearly any public places. As several people noted earlier, even in Jefferson Parish, where smoking is legal still in bars, most bars, no one is smoking, or management has banned smoking themselves in their own business, which is very different than government banning it. They are making a financial decision or a health decision for their employees. Either way, they're making that decision. But it's been 10 years that smoking's been banned in bars in New Orleans. It seems to be working out. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it seems to be working out. Tyler, thanks for calling. You're on WWL. How you doing, Tyler?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I just was going to make a quick comment. I kind of agree with what the other guy was saying. As far as smoking indoors goes, I graduated high school in 2017, And I worked a part-time job when I was in high school at a hardware store. And I won't say where it was or who it was, but when I worked there, it was a family-run business, so everybody was family there except for me. And every single person that worked there besides me smoked cigarettes indoors all throughout the day, so the entire store was, like, constantly filled with cigarette smoke. And,
wait, inside the
inside,
hardware store? Everyone was smoking?
Inside the hardware store, the owner himself would smoke at least a pack a day while I'm on the clock, and, you know, blow smoke in your face while he's talking to you type stuff. So it was definitely an experience working there with that. But, yeah, I was not a fan of it.
So how far do you think the government reach should go? Should it ban it in all workplaces, or should the exception continue like it does in most of Louisiana for bars and casinos? Should it be in restaurants? How far should government go in restricting smoking one decade into the ban in bars and casinos in New Orleans?
I will say, as far as the casinos go, there's, I think banning it may not, it's kind of weird with New Orleans, because I don't think that you're doing yourself any favors as a casino by banning smoking inside the casino. However, we're such a tourist attraction that even if you kind of run off, you know, maybe say some people that are locals that come to, you know, a casino regularly, you don't have to worry so much when you have, you know, that customer base being replenished by people that are traveling from out of town that want to stop in at a casino. You don't really have to worry about it in somewhere like New Orleans,
but Caesars seems to be doing all right with the ban. They did initially lose some money. And remember, it was the employees who pushed for it, the entertainers, the cocktail waitresses, the dealers, everybody who works there. So they didn't want to be breathing all that smoke anymore. So the city banned it 10 years ago. It was in 2017, coincidentally, that the state banned it in restaurants and workplaces, but did accept casinos and bars. Tyler Anderson, you also wanted to make a quick comment about the Saints?
Yeah, so, well, if you don't mind, I wanted to mention about the Super Bowl, too, but I think the Saints, the whole deal is just, it's just plain and simple to whoever doesn't really want to admit it, but I think the overwhelming majority of the fan base is ready for change in the front office, and I think when you have a guy like Mickey Loomis, who seems to have a lot of power at his hands, you know, it's hard to get him out, but, you know, I don't see...
The right coach, who Mickey Loomis even said will have a significant amount of input in who the quarterback is, the direction of the team, and what they do with player personnel and so forth going forward, you don't think the right coach can come in here and turn things around like we saw Washington do in a single season?
I mean, it can happen. I'm not saying it won't. It's just we have a lot of odds stacked against us, and I'm more of a actions speak louder than words kind of guy. So.
Gotcha, Tyler. I appreciate it. We're running out of time. I wish we could let you continue on, but we got to make way for this. When we come back, we'll try to take another call or two and check the text line. Also check in with Scoot, see what he's got coming up here on WWL. Text messages coming in. A lot of them responding to Jay, the caller a couple minutes ago, compared the smoking ban that is now 10 years old in New Orleans, outlawing smoking in bars and casinos, to the seatbelt laws. Well, several people were pointing out that taxpayers often have to pick up the tab of increased injuries to people in crashes who are not belted in or not wearing a helmet on a motorcycle. Somebody else texted in and said, the bars are going to protect us from smoke while they destroy our livers. Yeah, but, you know, you have to choose to drink that alcohol. You don't necessarily have a choice if there's smoke in the air other than to leave. William, thanks for calling. You are on WWL. What's on your mind?
The federal government has over 300,000 laws and over 10 million regulations, many of which carry the weight of law. Several years ago in my industry, the federal government passed a law, but they did not issue guidelines on how to comply. So technically, for 2 years, everyone in my industry violated that law.
Because there was no compliance information or enforcement, obviously.
No. It took them 2 years to develop that.
So what's your point, William? We're running out of time, so I want to make sure you get to make your point.
Okay, my point is we're all guilty. We're all breaking laws and regulations. We're all guilty. So the government has complete control and power over us.
Complete control and power.
Yes, because we're all guilty. If they want to enforce it, they can. We're all guilty.
So as this relates to us talking about the 10-year anniversary of the ban, in New Orleans on smoking in bars and casinos. Do you believe that that's appropriate use of government regulation and oversight, or do you think it's overreach? William? All right, no more William. Thank you, William. We appreciate the call. 504-260-1870. It is interesting that it's been 10 years already, and I think most people, even those who strongly opposed it, have adapted, adjusted, and gotten used to it and understand that it is the way it is, because I have not seen any organized or concentrated effort to overturn the ban on smoking in casinos and bars. That's a pretty powerful lobby, especially the casino lobby now with the introduction of the sports books and the sports betting that has become so prominent in New Orleans. They got a lot of money. And they got a lot of push and a lot of say, but I have not seen any pushback or effort to unban smoking in bars and casinos in New Orleans. Scoot, can you believe it's been 10 years that you can't smoke in a bar in New Orleans?
It is hard to believe, and I thought it was going to have an impact on the French Quarter, but it hasn't. People who want to smoke just go outside and smoke.
And they seem cool with that.
And, you know, I remember days back in the 80s when I was going out, just had long, bushy hair. I would come home and my hair would smell like smoke, and my clothes would smell like smoke.
Yeah, for days.
Oh, for days. Well, yeah. Well, I try to shower.
Not your hair, your clothes.
Yeah, your clothes, yeah. No, I mean,
even you wash them, sometimes you can't get the stench.
You want to just throw them away. But, yeah, I mean, I don't miss that. But there was something, you know, there was something about the seediness of the smoke in a barn. You know, I know everybody's different. I was never worried about secondhand smoke, but there was something about the seediness of smoke in a bar that just made it seem just a little more naughty than it was supposed to be.
What are you going to do for the next 3 hours, naughty or not?
Well, we will talk about some of the stuff going on in our country. We will also talk about this. We'll do some fun stuff today because it's Monday. There is a new Oreo cookie coming out, and they're teaming up with Post Malone. There's a new chili-flavored ice cream coming out, which I don't get. And also, there are airlines talking about dress codes, and I remember a time when I had to wear a coat and tie as a kid.
Not for their staff, but for people flying on the airline.
Right.
All right. I wonder what the Post Malone Oreo is going to taste like. You'll find out next with Scoot and much more. Have a great time. I'll see you at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning.